that smile again. Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end. The best is ready to begin. Oh, as long as we got each other, we got the world spinning right in our hands, baby. You and me, we gotta be the luckiest dreamers who never quit dreaming. As long
Alan Thicke, the dad from Growing Pains, of course, and so many other things you've seen on television over the years, passed away yesterday suddenly in Los Angeles at the age of 69. He had been playing hockey, actually, at a rink. He is part of a celebrity hockey league, and he gets together with a number of other actors and entertainers who also play hockey, and they tour around the region, sometimes the country, and they play in charity events and things like that. And they just do it also for the workout. And our friend of the show, Mark DiCarlo, and my colleague over at Windy City Live, was with him yesterday when this all started to occur. And I know you were on with us a little earlier on Windy City Live today talking about this. And I know it's very, very tough, because I know, Mark, you've known Alan Thicke for a long time, and this is it's a surprise to everybody, because he's very much as one would imagine him to be off the air as he is on, right?
You've met a lot of celebrities and famous people, and unfortunately, lots of times they're one way on screen and they're jerks in person, or selfish, or unsavory. Let's put it. Alan was just the opposite. He was sweet and genuine and funny, and he loved being Alan Thicke. You know, he was from Canada, and show business is a tough life. You audition 50,000 times to get one job. That's the bad side of it. The good side of it is, once you get some fame, you get invited to do all these cool things that regular people don't get to go and do. And Alan was on this celebrity hockey team with myself and Phil Esposito and lots of other people, and he was always just a really nice, fun, funny man, and it's just a sad, abrupt day yesterday.
Mark, I was hearing a little bit about what had happened. He was playing with his son, I guess 19-year-old Carter, I think his name was, also there.
Yeah.
And apparently he complimented Carter on some nice shots and had some moments that I'm sure he'll cherish for the rest of his life now. He had a very heartfelt letter, this Carter did, about how he lost his best friend and his idol. And it was, oh my gosh, it just broke your heart to read it. But it's interesting, because he said that he was taken away from the hockey rink, and he seemed like he might be okay. He was even kind of joking with his son.
He was. That's what really hit me really hard last night. We were playing about 11 o'clock in the morning. There's a standing pickup game every Tuesday and Thursday around the corner from NBC. And it's cameramen, it's actors, and it's people that own their own businesses. And we get together, and we play hockey for an hour and a half, and we go home. And Alan lived like over an hour away, but he would come whenever he was in town, and every once in a while he'd bring Carter or his other kids with him, and that's when he really loved it. You know, he's been playing hockey his whole life. Wayne Gretzky was one of his buddies. So I'm sure for him to play hockey with his big, tall, strong 19-year-old son, who is a very good hockey player, certainly he delighted in that. And there was no sign, in the locker room while we were getting dressed before the game, he was funny and cracking jokes and looked like he had a new jersey on, a new Rangers jersey on that he had just gotten. And he was holding court, as he often did in the locker room, and seemed fine. I mean, he was in great shape. But he was 69, but he looked younger and, you know, was a really active guy. And early on in the session, he kind of went under distress. He went to the bench and was doubled over in pain and moaning. And we laid him out off the bench. And one of the guys that we skate with is a retired fireman. So while we were waiting for the paramedics to show up, he was getting, the John the fireman was checking his pulse, and we were getting him comfortable and getting his skates off, and I'm propping up his head and making him comfortable, and he was in pain, but he never lost consciousness. He was always talking, and then once the paramedics arrived, they seemed very much in control and not frantic or anything, and stabilized him. And I guess as he was being wheeled out, he told Carter to take a picture of him on the gurney as a joke. So the last image I have of him was being wheeled out the door, sitting up on the gurney, and I remember thinking to myself, "Oof, dodged a bullet." You know, I figured he'd be in the hospital, and I called over there, called to the guy that runs the hockey pickup in the afternoon, said, "You know, have you heard any news on Alan? What room he's in?" I was going to go visit him and say hi, and we heard nothing. And then, you know, my phone started blowing up around 7:30 last night.
Wow.
But it was a real it was a shock to see it when it happened, and then it was a shock to hear the news later in the night.
One of the things about Alan Thicke is that, as he's being described a lot today in all quarters, as a guy who was very, very generous with his success. He was generous with the people around him. He was and I mean that, too, not just as a monetary thing. He was generous in spirit because, you know, another piece of what you're talking about, and especially the kind of life that actors and writers, and which is what he was too. He's also a composer. Mm-hmm. He wrote that theme song to Growing Pains, plus a bunch of other ones. We'll play some of those in the top 5 at 5 today. He was generous of spirit on the set with other actors, making sure that, you know, he gave them an opportunity to shine, and also helped other people get in and succeed in the business.
Hugely, he did some of that for me. He was people may not know, but he was a huge star. He was like the young Regis Philbin of Canada before he came here. And then he came here as a writer and a producer. He wrote one of the funniest shows ever on television, Fernwood Tonight. I believe he worked on Mary Hartman, right, too. So that was kind of cutting-edge, weird comedy TV. And then he had his own daytime talk show. He had a late-night talk show that he loved to make fun of.
Think and of the then, night.
Yeah. And then he hit it big with Different Strokes, but
Growing Pains.
Yeah, Growing Pains. Yeah. But I think he wrote the theme song for Different Strokes and wrote the theme for Wheel of Fortune. He was a very talented guy, but he was a Canadian, and I mean that with all due respect. You know, just a nice guy who I think realized how fortunate he was to be living the life that he was living and to have the talents that he had, and would always reach out with advice or ideas or help. Hey, I'm doing this thing. Do you want to come and do this with me? Which is you know, I'm sure you've interviewed thousands of celebrities, and, you know, not everybody is like that. A lot of people are selfish and only concerned about themselves, and Alan was he was a sweet, fun guy who you got the feeling liked to see you. Every time I saw him, I felt like, oh, Alan's happy to see me, which makes me smile even now, you know, because he was a sweetheart. And you know, it's going to be hard tomorrow going back there.
Right, yeah. I bet.
Let me also say too, you know, you mentioned Canada because he was born in Ontario. But he'd also lived in the Western provinces, and as you pointed out, he had a huge television career up there, and it is a very, very big story up there today, so much so, actually, that Gary Bettman, the head of the NHL, the commissioner of the NHL, has issued a statement about him and about hockey and how what an amazing hockey fan he is and passionate, and he always involved himself in charity games, I know that you have as well, and award shows for the NHL and for hockey. And he was a big LA Kings fan, and it just a really, you know, he had that kind of connection into it, too. And I would imagine the Canadian expatriate community in Los Angeles, which is some incredibly successful people that you go and you find out, oh my God, they're Canadian.
Right. Yeah, there's lots of them.
Yeah.
There's a relatively large hockey subculture here in Southern California as well. And, you know, we were all talking to each other last night, I'll share a story with you that I think embodies Alan's kind of take on life. We were in Pittsburgh at the old Igloo playing a charity game, and Alan was on the team. I was on the team. Paul Gaffoyle, Scott Wolf, Jason Priestley, bunch of other guys. And it happened to be the first night that Mario Lemieux was going to make a public appearance after he beat Hodgkins. So they line us all up on the ice. We're standing there. I was standing next to Alan. They introduce Mario. The place goes nuts. Clapping. People are freaking out. Gordie Howe is there. It's just an amazingly emotional, wonderful moment. And Alan turns to me and he goes, "Pretty cool, huh?" Like, wow. He was thrilled to be there, playing his small part in the night, and never, to me, I think, never lost that, "I can't believe I get to play hockey with Phil Esposito."
Yeah. That's so cool.
That's an amazing story. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks, Mark.
I talked to you a little earlier today. We're texting back and forth about this, and I'm sorry for your loss. I know he was your friend, and this is it's got to be a very tough moment. So
I bet
it is. But again, being a Canadian, I no one wants to die, but that's not a bad way to go, I guess, if you're a Canadian. You know, at least
die in the hockey rink.
Yeah, I mean,
What are you saying, Mark? Like, as a Chicagoan, is it best to choke on a beef sandwich? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and then go face first into a deep dish pizza.
Oh, gosh.
All right, I'm just trying to figure out where you're going with that. But I got it. I'm with you.
But you know what I mean? If you're good, let's say you're 90 years old and you're a Chicagoan.
It's a good way to go.
Right, you're at Wrigley Field and the Cubs win the World Series. Why not? Right then.
And then shot by a jealous husband. I get it. I see what's going on here.
Yeah, but just too soon. That's the sad part about it.
It is 69. That just,
yeah,
right.
It is.
And he was a youthful, very healthy-looking 69.
Right. He's such a warm TV dad. It doesn't surprise me.
That was pretty much
what you said about him.
I got to tell you, it wasn't much of an acting role. That's how he chose to live his life. And I know that all of his friends, it was a privilege knowing him and hanging out with him, and we're going to miss him.
Mark DiCarlo, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Can I thank Mark DiCarlo for saying that, Ro, because I know it's a little too soon, but if I'm going to go, there's part of me that thinks I'm going to live forever, but if I do die, I want to die on the rec league court. I want to be playing tennis. I want to be at the Maccabi Olympics when I'm 89 years old, hit a great forehand, and then that's it. I think that's the way I should go out.
Thank you, Mark. Duly noted. I'm going to put that in the book of life for you.